The oil sands, of course, is a very large, takes place in a very large land base, and much of the original plant communities that are there have been removed in order to get at the oil in the oil sands. And in order to reclaim that, we try and put back the soils, and we try and grow some of the native plants, or many of the native plants that were originally there. And there's good reason for that. We want to produce good functioning ecosystems, and of course the plants that were there prior to disturbance are the plants that are adapted to that area. There's also plants there that are used by the local wildlife that we would like to encourage. And of course there are values to the native people in the area who will again be looking at these areas as part of their land base.
I was amazed at the list of plants that you're working with. What are some of them?
Well, we're working with right now about 40 or 42 different plants in the area. There are many more than what we're working with, but this is a good start. Well, we're working with such things as birch, the paper birch that's in the area. We're working with some of the beautiful flowers like the western wood lily and the prairie anemone, which amazingly grows up that north. We're working with quite a number of the berry species, so Saskatoon berry, blueberry, chokecherry as well.
How have you got the project set up?
Well, what we've done is we're looking at, right now what we do is when we want to reclaim an area and we want to put the plants back in, often the plants are grown in nurseries and put out as young plants. This is a time-consuming and expensive process. So what we're trying to do is look at just jumping right from harvesting the seed and putting them back into the ground. So we're looking at putting seed right in the ground there and having them emerge and produce plant communities. So what we've done is we've looked at both seed and berries and planting both of those and comparing the difference if you actually clean the seed out of the berries or whether we actually put the berries in the ground, because there's some evidence that plants grow better from berries as opposed to when the seed is cleaned. And then we're looking at differences in whether sowing in the fall or in the spring will result in better establishment. So really we're looking at plant establishment from seed and from those kinds of propagules.
Are you collecting these seeds yourself?
Yes. We do a lot of seed harvesting, and one of the problems, that, of course, that we've run into over the number of years is that there are less and less areas to harvest seed in as the disturbances grow. So we're looking at trying to eventually set up a seed bank so that we will have seeds prior to disturbance, and those can be banked in some way and used after when they're needed. But in the meantime, in order to do that, we need to know how to propagate and establish these plants. So at this point in time, we are actually out there hand harvesting all of these, and I have a crew of four people, myself included, and we go out and harvest all of these plants into buckets, and basically we go berry picking.
I'm surprised that any of those berries end up in your seed bank.
Well, after a while, you can only eat so many. The surprising thing is that we don't have more competition from the animals. We do have to be very careful, particularly in the blueberry patches, because we do run into bears quite often, because of course that's prime food for them for fattening up for winter. So we do run into those from time to time, and we harvest very environmentally. We make sure we don't harvest all of the berries in an area. We make sure that we leave enough for natural revegetation as well as for the animals in the area.
Are there special preparations for the seeds and the berries?
Well, if we're working with berries and we're going to seed the berries right into the ground, all we do is count them and freeze them. So we don't do anything much with those. With the seeds, however, you have to clean them. And in some cases, that's as simple as running the seed and the chaff that you pick it with through a series of sieves. But for the berries, it's a matter, depending on the type of berry and how many seeds there are and what kind of seeds are in there and how big they are, we've really had to develop methods for cleaning these. And we use everything from kitchen blenders to take the seed out of the berries, to tomato de-seeders, which I found in an Italian seed catalog, to sort of working our own methods with. We have a really good system that we use, a hockey puck on a screen that works really well for one species.
I'm just thinking about garden species. For example, some seeds, like morning glories, you have to scarify them, like scrape them up. And other seeds, they seem to do better if they actually go through a bird first before they get plopped into the ground. Are you having to deal with those kinds of concerns?
Well, we are when we're testing germination, because when we're testing germination in an artificial situation in the lab, we obviously have to make sure that those treatments are given to the seeds prior. So in some cases, you're right, we actually nick the seed and allow the water to enter. In other cases, we actually scarify them in acid, which would be kind of like going through a digestive system of an animal. And some of the species are so hard that we use concentrated sulfuric acid for up to 4.5 hours in order to break down the seed coat so that the water can enter. In other cases, we don't have to do anything. And then there's a lot of the seeds in our northern environment, in our temperate environment, that require what we call a stratification, a cold period. And we put them through a cold period. In our case, we moisten them and put them in fridges for cold periods. But when we actually do the work outside and seed these things outside, we don't need to do that, because that's taken care of by natural freeze-thaw cycles, for instance, will scarify the seeds, and also the cold periods. That's why we're looking at spring and fall plantings, because some seeds will require a warm period and then a cold period and then a warm period and then they'll germinate. Others will require a cold period before they emerge, and so putting them out in the fall for the ones that require the cold is a good idea, whereas if you put them out in the spring, you know, it doesn't work. If you put them out in the spring and they require a warm period, then you're going to get that warm period through the summer, you're going to get the cold period through the winter, and then they'll emerge the following spring. So nature really takes care of a lot of that, and we're trying to work with nature on that.
Now, what about the soil itself? What's it like?
Well, it varies quite a bit from all of the different sites that we're working at. The groups that have been researching and doing soil work up in the oil sands over the last, probably 20 years, have developed what they call, for the most part, a peat soil mix, and they mix peat that has been scraped off the surface in with mineral soil, and they put that back. And there's a lot of research going on as to, you know, the thickness of that and the proportional of each in the mix and so on. So that's all work that's been done prior to what we do, and we're just now planting onto that.
Now, you're trying to see what happens with these native species, but what do you do about weed control?
Well, that's quite an interesting problem. It's not a huge problem up there. We don't worry about it too much, because most of the weeds that come up are annual weeds. They're weeds that will come up, go through their cycle, die back, and then produce seed, and then those seeds will come up again. But as time goes on, the native plants actually are more adapted than these species, and they will actually take over and become the dominant species in time. However, when we first seed, it becomes a problem, and we have to get rid of some of those and scrape them off before we can actually seed.
What will be the ultimate result of this?
Well, ultimately, I would really like to see functioning ecosystems, forest ecosystems up in that area. My work, of course, is only one part of that. There's all the soil scientists and the plant scientists that have come before me. But with the work that we're doing very specifically, there is a revegetation manual that comes out on a regular basis, and our work will help to refine the methodologies that we have in that manual. And we're putting together what we're calling propagation and establishment profiles for each of the species we're working with. So as we get the information, we put together a profile for that species, and those will be handed over to everyone involved in trying to reclaim a site. So from the nurseries trying to grow these plants to the operations people who actually have to go out and harvest the seeds and put them in the ground. And they will have that information to go on, so that they don't have to start looking from scratch to each time they want to look at a different species.
This actually builds on some work that you have been doing over the last few years for Syncrude and for the oil sands area. What have you done before?
Well, we've done a number of projects in the oil sands, but the one that was just previous to this and that this work builds on is a trial at Syncrude where we did a similar kind of project, but on a much smaller scale and with many fewer species. And it's the positive results from that has convinced us to take this on into a larger scale and to work with all of the companies rather than just Syncrude. And it also builds on work that we've been doing throughout the province as well, not just with the oil sands, but other plant communities. For instance, I worked for a number of years in the prairies and grasslands. Some of the other work that I've done for Syncrude that is still being looked at and analyzed is work on looking at species that grow particularly in the sand, because when you finish with the mining, you end up with large masses of what we call sand, the tailing sand. And we have looked and discovered that there are a number of species that grow naturally in sand areas in Alberta that we can actually grow right in the sand without having to put the soil over top. And we would probably never do that because there's, you know, the soil over top makes a much better community in the end. But what we're interested in doing is getting some of these plant species in there and growing so that if we ever get blowouts where trees fall and you actually expose the sand, that you've got some pioneer species that will come in and take over so that you aren't going to get sand blowing problems.
Thank you very much, Anne.
Oh, you're welcome.